Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Singing, here I am. Thank you. worshiping you with all I am, worshiping you. I'm bowing down in spirit and truth with lifted hands, worshiping you. Here I am, worshiping you with all I am, worshiping you. I'm bowing down, spirit and truth, with lifted hands, worshiping you. With lifted hands, worshiping you. With lifted hands, we worshiping you. Worshiping you, hands lifted up, lifted hands, worshiping you, lifted hands, worshiping you, worship, 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 yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, we worship, yeah, yeah, yeah. Lord, we worship you, Lord, we worship you. Oh, Lord, we worship you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we worship you. It's you we need. It's you we need. Oh, it's you we need. Have your way right now. Have your way right now. Tear up our plan. Tear up our plan right now. Just have your way, Lord. Have your way. Somebody's heart is broken. Somebody's heart need a healing. Just have your way, oh Lord. Have your way, oh Lord. Have your way, oh Lord.
Have your way.
We're standing in a need of prayer. We're standing in a need of prayer. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, how much we love you. How much we need you. How much more we want you. More and more, more and more, more and more, more and more. Need you more and 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 more. Oh, how we want you to reign in this place. Oh, how we want you to reign in this place. Oh, how we want you to reign in this place. Oh, how we want you to reign in this place. Oh, how we want you to reign in this place. Come on and say, oh, how we want you to reign in this place. Oh, how we want you to reign in this place. Oh, how we want you to reign in this place. Yeah, come on, release your praise. Release your cry. Somebody release your praise. Release your cry.
Lord, we worship you tonight, Lord. In spirit and truth, we come and we worship you, Lord. Our declaration tonight, God, is we will worship you. We will worship you, Lord. In the day watch, in the night watch, no matter what comes our way, God, we will worship you. We will praise you. We will lift up the name of Jesus. You are worthy of our praise, God. You are worthy. You are good. We declare your goodness tonight, God. You are good. We're going to take up our offering tonight. And this offering goes for the Nehemiah Fund. And the Nehemiah Fund is a fund that helps support the intercessors, the musicians, and the singers in the house of prayer. And so, Lord, we thank you for this offering, God. We thank you for those who have set apart their lives to worship you in the house of prayer, God. Those who have committed to be priests in your house, God, throughout the week, God, we thank you for them. God, we ask that you would bless them, Lord, with this offering. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to give into your kingdom, God. We thank you, Lord. Use it for the furthering of your kingdom. We thank you. Thank you for this offering. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Come to encounter you tonight, God. To rest in your presence. There's no place like your presence, God. Nothing like your presence. undone when we realize how much you love us. The way that you show your affection towards us, Lord, is nothing like it. We are changed forever in your presence, God. We are not the same people when we worship you in your presence, God. We can't leave the same people, for after spending time in your presence, God, we are transformed and changed. We worship you, Lord. Beauty and the splendor of your holiness. We worship you. We worship you.
Amen. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in encountering the Lord. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of different verses in the Word of God, but there are some that are those handle verses. Sometimes we need a verse to hold on to. And I love the verse that says, we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, right? So tonight, Michael's going to give his testimony. And amen, of a life of encountering the Lord. And, amen. Lord, we thank you for Michael, Lord, and his heart to worship you, Lord. Father, I thank you that he comes to encounter you every time that he gets behind that keyboard, Lord. He trusts that he's going to meet with you. And so, Lord, we thank you for his life. Lord, I ask your blessing upon him, Lord, as he shares his life with us tonight, Lord. We just thank you for him. Ask your blessing upon him in Jesus' name.
Amen. Wow, this is different. Well, I just first of all, I'd just like to thank you guys for being here on a Tuesday. And most of all, I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for me being here. Amen. And praise God that one day he reached down out of something nasty and ooky and said, I'm going to use that one. So, and I'm pretty sure y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Just when you think you can't be used, and boom, he got you. Well, I just believe that I just need to share my testimony because I just didn't just say, hey, I'm just going to play the keys and say, okay, I just like the way it sounds. But sometime in order for you to have a testimony, you got to go through a test. You know, you have to go through something to tell somebody about something. You know what I mean? And I'm going to go ahead and just start it off. Of course, those who don't know me, I am Michael Johnson. This is my lovely wife. I'm going to have her to stand up. My lovely wife. And my son, Michael. And of course, you'll probably hear more about them. You know, I just thank God because I can't do nothing without the support of them. But I'm going to start off and just let you know where I come from, of course. I was, you might see me, I get my notes because my mind can go all over the place. I'm trying to do this in an organization here. But I was born in Chicago, Illinois in 1963. My mom had two girls and two boys. I'm the youngest in the family, of course, the youngest. I like that, the youngest. We was raised in a church in Chicago, Christ Tabernacle. It was in Chicago, Illinois. My mom was a secretary of the church. And we had a pastor, her name was Willie B. Holloway, and she was an anointed woman of God. I mean, really powerful. And I was just probably around 9 or 8, but I used to hear stories that, let's say if this was the church and someone, you know, in the church, you get up and testify and give God the glory of what he brought you to in the week. She can tell if somebody was just telling a story, wasn't really real, you know what I mean? And even if someone to stand up and say, I got a pain in them, she can just stand up and wave her hand. So that's the kind of place that I came from, where we come from, Penny. So that's the kind of woman she was. And God gave her a vision. And that vision was to build a place out of Chicago where us young kids can serve and worship God in freedom. Because in Chicago, you know how, you know, violent that was. So her vision was to just give us a place where we could just feel free to worship God and don't have to worry about any danger or anything. So the church joined their vision, something that's called all things common. Anything, anybody know anything about all things common? All things common in Acts 2:44. And they come together as a body of Christ, and you're putting everything together. You know what I mean? So it was no like, it really was not about you paying 10%. It was the other way around, basically, right? Something like that. You know what I mean? So it was just like we was coming together because that's what the vision was, that we all come together and just build a place where God, people can dwell in and safe. So God blessed us, and we purchased the land in Cassopolis, Michigan in 1973. And then in 1973, I believe the building started. And while it was being built, our pastor, the woman I was telling about, passed away. And she died through some sickness in that same year of 1973. But the vision didn't stop. God blessed us with another pastor. So the building just started continually. And now this was August 1973 in that same year. And it was time for a couple of them to go down to do some decorating for the building. So it was my mom, the secretary of the church, my aunt, and the pastor, the new pastor, and the assistant pastor, and also Penny's sister, who was involved with that also, and four other members of the church was going. So they all loaded up in a 9-passenger station wagon. You remember them back in the day? Them big old 9-passenger station wagon. So they all loaded up in a 9-passenger station wagon, and they got on a toll road and headed to Michigan, you know, to take care of the vision, what God had gave our pastor, you know, but they never made it. They crashed, and that's when I lost my mother in 1973. And history tells you it was the biggest crash in history on the toll road. And I couldn't read this, so I have Liz to go ahead and do it.
Toll road crash kills 6 and injures 3. The worst traffic accident in the history of the Indiana toll road claimed 6 lives and injured 3 others about noon Tuesday, including 2 church pastors and other church officials who were en route to a new church site near Cassopolis when their auto crashed. Indiana State Police, South Bend Post, who investigated, said the 9-passenger station wagon was eastbound on the toll road 5 miles west of the city at the Quincy Road overpass when it bumped the rear of another vehicle, then careened out of control into the concrete abutment. Dead are Mrs. Lily Mae Roberson, 46, driver of the vehicle, and assistant pastor of the Christ Tabernacle Church, 31 East and 112th Place, Chicago. Vicki Johnson, 34, church secretary. Ronald Fleming, 24. Beatrice Sanders, 42, pastor of the church. Lonnie Thompson, 34, assistant secretary, all of Chicago. And Nancy Satiris, 23, an interior decorator from Melrose Park, Illinois. Of the church officials was a volunteer worker with them going to the site for the first time. Injured were 3 other Chicago residents. Diane Ross, 21, a Sunday school teacher. Eleanor Ross, 18, and Sharon Reed, 16, both singers and church choir members. Memorial Hospital officials said all 3 are in satisfactory condition, suffering multiple fractures, cuts, and bruises. State police said the station wagon bumped the rear of a minibus driven by Keith Clifford, 23, of Boonton, New Jersey. He was not injured. After bumping the bus, the station wagon veered out of control into the median strip, where it skidded sideways on into the concrete. The top was sheared off the vehicle upon impact, state police said, and the 3 survivors were thrown from the wreckage. The accident occurred during the height of a downpour. Firemen from Clay Township and South Bend Fire Department worked about an hour before freeing all of the victims. Firemen used an air chisel to cut the twisted metal and 2 tow trucks to pull the wreckage apart in sections from the overpass pillar. The church representatives were en route to Thorpe Lake near Vandalia with a Route 3 Cassopolis address, where they were planning a new church and were in process of decorating a house where the Ross family was moving. The project plans included a house, church, apartments, and a community building, according to another church official in Chicago. The McGann Funeral Home was in charge of local arrangements. The bodies were transferred to Chicago area funeral homes this morning.
So there you have it. I didn't know how to respond. And like I said, I was like, 10 years old. I had to go through some healing over that, some theophostic. And in that, I dealt with a lot of anger. You know, I didn't understand it because I was like 9 or 10. I didn't know nothing about death, you know. But I got to move to this part here. With the anger, I had to, David Raymer, but he had to take me to some theophostic because I didn't understand, because only thing God knew is that as a young kid, I was at the top of the stairs, and I just saw people running through the house, you know, all wild and stuff, and they were just saying, you know, hey, we had the big accident on the toll road, so I didn't know how to respond, you know. So as a little kid, I'm standing at the top of the stairs, and I'm seeing people running past me, you know, and they said, your mama not coming back, you know, my sisters is running past me and everything. So I didn't understand. I felt nobody didn't hold me and explain it to me. You know, so I dealt with that for years and years and years. But then Theophostic helped me out with that, because God let me go all the way back to what I was feeling. And then I was right on the stairs. And then all of a sudden, people were still running past. And all of a sudden, I saw somebody ran up the stairs quickly. And I saw Jesus just go and picked me up. You know, and we know when he picked you up, you like lost all in his arms, because he's kind of, you know, you just get lost and you just... So that's what I felt. So that was the part of a healing thing. But God had a plan for me. I didn't know what, but he had a plan. And then after that, I went to go and stay with my father in Little Rock, Arkansas for a little while, you know. And then that went for a short moment. Then he sent me back to Chicago to stay with a cousin of mine, my cousin Louise. But then around a year after that, I received word that my father died. So after 73, the year after that, my father died, and he was in a taxi cab in Little Rock, Arkansas. It was told to me that a taxi was getting robbed, and they saw him in the back and then just opened up fire and shot him in the head. So God had a plan for me. Back then, I didn't see it. So, but then after that, my sisters moved on with the church. I have two sisters. They moved on with the church in Catsopolis, Michigan. You know, with the church, took care of them after Mama died, and my brother Anthony went into the Marines. And then, so, then I was just me, you know, staying with Cousin Louise, didn't know what was going on. And then I asked my cousin if I can go and stay with my sisters in Catsopolis, Michigan. At first, she said to me that I couldn't. And then, of course, God went ahead, and his plan was for me to go there. So I ended up going there. And then around a year after that, we received the call. And that my brother Anthony had died. And he was on a motorcycle, and he had his friend, his lady friend, on the back, and she fell off the back of the motorcycle. And he looked back to see was she okay, and pop, ran into one of those underpass where the pillar's at, and instantly snapped his neck. So that happened after that year. So I was dealing with more anger, you know, still didn't understand. I was confused, didn't know what to do. Only thing I knew, that people that was close to me was dying off and they was leaving. But I knew Christ Tabernacle, the one who just helped me out, showed a lot of love. I still didn't understand what was going on, but yet they still loved me anyway. I was, okay, I was a little bad kid, you know, but they loved me anyway, you know. and that's one of the models, that they should know us by our love. So no matter what we went through, they have to love us. So we can hold that to them. Yeah, we did it, but you got to love us. They can't, you know, stop that. But then after that, I've got married. I got married with my first wife. I got married at the age of 24, and God blessed me with three kids by her. And I was still dealing with anger. Those three kids, my oldest kids, which I don't, you guys probably, Tanisha, Ashley, and Isaiah, those who've been around here for a while. And I still was dealing with anger issues. This is something I'm letting you know what God delivered me from. With anger issues, I remember my daughter Tanisha, when she came finally and lived with me for a minute, she told me something that I did. And it was a doll, it was one of those big doll house you can go in and play house. But I got mad and I just tore the doll house up right in front of her. And she always remembered that. And I'm like, oh. but I didn't know how to respond to the hurt. And so I end up had a chance to repent to her. In that first marriage, it got so crazy that I couldn't be around in a marriage no more. So my wife had left me because she couldn't handle it. And so she left me and took two of the kids with her. And she moved around here to Concord, and I was still in Cassopolis, Michigan. But she did let me know that I can keep one of them, and that one was Ashley Johnson. Ashley Johnson was the second oldest daughter of mine. And so 2 days later after that, I got a call from my ex-wife, and she said that she changed her mind, and she wanted Ashley back. And, of course, imagine everything that I've been through. Everyone's leaving. Whoa. You know, this is the one that's close. You can't do that to me. But she said, I got to have her back. You know, so I have to go, and I talked to my pastor, Pastor Robeson, which is the pastor now, about it. And he kind of, like, gave me some light that, of course, when you have a family, you want the kids to stay together. You don't want the separation. So he told me that I have to do that. I didn't like it. So I owned this Dodge, big old Dodge van, and I started driving down Thorpe Lake Road, and I began to drive and drive. I had Ashley in the back in a car seat. She was just real small, barely walking, barely talking. And I was just driving and driving and driving, doing 60, doing 65, doing 70. And as I'm doing this, I'm looking for the biggest tree in the country to throw the van to, because I got tired. I can't take it no more. So as I'm driving and driving faster and faster down the country, I don't know if y'all know anything about the country roads out there, where it's just like hills and you don't know what's coming over, but I didn't care. But I'm just driving and driving. Then all of a sudden I heard somebody in the back in a little child voice singing, "Jesus love me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And I looked in the rearview mirror and realized that I forgot that she was back there. And I slowed the van down real quick, and I pulled over, and I grabbed, and I hugged, and I started crying. But me didn't know it. I didn't know it then, but I know that that was the first time that worship saved me. Something that simple. But when you get so far out there or so far down there, if you be quiet a little bit, you can hear Jesus saying he loves you. So no matter what. And if you don't hear it, then I mean it's too noisy. You need to get into a quiet place so you can hear what he's saying. And so I end up taking Ashley back, you know, and I was devastated. And then didn't know how I overcame that, but of course I know by the blood, you know. But then I didn't know how. Then years passed, and then I met a lovely wife right there, Monica. But before all that, God started fixing me. And fix me, because I knew the situation that I had back then. But he was healing me. He wasn't complete. He was healing me. And I was still dealing with different anger issues. And how I met my wife in Christ Tabernacle, I was playing on the piano. I started playing in key of C. And every time that anyone got up there and sang, break it down, you know, how it was African-American church, we just get up and we just sang what we want to sing. No, I'm start talking, sang. I'm shifting now. Okay. So we start singing what we want to sing. But we had a guy who was on a keyboard, but he left and went to Nashville. And so the keyboard was there. So I started playing a key. So all I knew was the key of C. So I don't care what you're singing, guess what key you're going to be singing in? Key of C. They didn't have transpose buttons back then. I'm like, key of C. Penny, no, because she was a worship leader. Wrong key. No, it's all right. Key of C. But God moved on key of C. Amen. Can you move on key of C? Amen. So he moved on key of C. You know, and then as I'm playing there, I was doing that for a minute. And then a friend of mine walked into Christ Tabernacle named James Tucker, you know. And I saw it was kind of sunny there. So, of course, it was sunny because my wife walked in. She was just... I didn't really know her that well, but I was about to be introduced because when she walked in, I'm playing the piano, and I was dating somebody, but walked in, and as soon as walked in, God said, "That's your wife." That's simple. That's your wife. And I'm like, Okay. I didn't have a problem with that because she looked good. You see what I'm saying? It's not like I have to go, are you sure? I'm like, all right, okay. Service over. Hey, girl, come here. You know. Give me that number. Okay. All right. Let me shift back. Okay. All right. Okay. But praise God. I said, that's my wife. I mean, yeah, that's what you said. And I was cool with that. And she, you know, we went out and stuff. And, you know, I felt in love with her, you know. And I told her, you know, I believe God told you you're my wife. And, of course, you know, man, we have to wait a little bit for the woman to understand what we just told her, you know. You know, you don't have to. Oh, don't turn me off. Okay. All right. All right. But then, yeah, God blessed me with her. God ended up totally blessing me with 6 kids. So notice what I messed around dealing with all kind of temper. You know, enemy had me messed up with temper. And I have 3 kids by my ex. See, what the enemy tried to take away, it doubles. You follow what I'm saying? So I end up with 3 more kids. And now I have 6 kids and 4 grandkids. And I can't deny them because they look a little bit like me. They got a little nose. But then God really blessed in that. But then there was something else that happened because I knew God was shifting me. But before I did meet my wife, I was still at Christ Tabernacle because I was still kind of upset and things like that. But then my sister, Trezina, she went and joined the military in Fort Bragg. That's where she was at. So I wanted to go and check her out, go and see and visit her. So the plan was for me to go there for around a couple of weeks and visit her and then come back. I was cool with that because Christ Tabernacle was getting on my nerve anyway because they were showing me all kind of love and giving me all kind of truth, and I wasn't about to hear it, you know, because I was mad. And, you know, any teenager in here, you know what I'm saying? When mama's talking to you, okay, mama, I hear you, but I don't hear you. So, and I know, see, my mama, that's what I'm saying. My mama, when she died on this, she died for this. She died serving God. So whatever your mama's doing, she's worshiping God and she's dying for Christ. That means, kids, you're in trouble. Because mama then laid it down. You know what I mean? We can't run from this. So here I am, you know. And so I went to go visit her. And the plan was I was going to get down there and she was going to pay my way back. You know, so I went down there for a couple of weeks, you know what I mean? Then I decided, you know, okay, it's time for me to go back to Christ Tabernacle. And then when I told her that, she said, no, I want you to stay with me. And I'm like, no, I got to go back. You know, but she wouldn't give me a bus ticket to get back. But I knew I had to get back because I wasn't going there to live. I was going there just to visit, to get away for a minute. So I knew that I had to go back to Christ Tabernacle because that's where I felt a lot of love, you know what I mean? And I know that's what mama died for. And so she wouldn't give it back, give me the money to get back. And so I just said, okay. And then I just went to sleep that day. And then God woke me up and told me, leave now. And I'm like, he said, leave now. And so I end up just got me a little duffel bag and got my little gray warm-ups, you know, the socks with the big stripes on there. And then y'all know what I'm talking about. Mike know what I'm talking about. Big stripes on it. You know, so I put it on my back and stuff. And I had, think back then, I had my little Jerry curl going on, you know. And so I started walking. So God told me, the Spirit told me to leave. Get back. This is Fairville, North Carolina. I had to get back to Cassopolis, Michigan. That was the time that it was hitchhiking, people getting killed and everything. I had to go through some prejudice roads. I had to go through KKK rally, all kind of stuff. And I'm walking, and I end up sleeping underneath the viaduct. When you go up under the viaduct, you go all the way up there. I end up sleeping under there. But the most crazy part, as I was walking, I started singing because I'm raised up in church. That's all I knew was songs. So I started up singing. And his song was like, I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord, today. Because you care for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you, I lift you up and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. And that was it. And I kept singing that over and over as I'm walking. And as I'm walking, I think I was moving faster. You know what I mean? Because one thing, when you're scared out there, trust me, a song will come to you. You know, so God started giving me this worship. I'm up to singing. You know, I ran into some crazy people. I don't even want to go there. I ran into some crazy people. But then I ran into this one person, a truck stop, and I ran into a guy, and I asked him, said, "Sir, can you give me a ride?" And then he said, "Sure." And then when he turned around, he looked at just like my daddy. And I backed up, and he helped me up in the semi-truck, sat there, and he had a Bible sitting there. And he's like, "Son, you need to stop running." And I'm like, I couldn't get out the truck. So, but that's what he said, you know. You just can't jump off an 18-wheeler when someone speaks to you, so you got to listen. I'm like, okay, God, all right. But he said, "I need to stop running." So he ended up taking me all the way to Twin Branch McDonald's. And a guy named Mike Sims, who was from Cassopolis, Michigan, my church, came and picked me up. And when I walked my foot in the church, man, I sung that same song in testimony service. And I knew what I was singing because I knew how far God brought me, you know. And then that's when my wife came along, you know what I mean? Nah, I'm back to I know I can talk this long. You know, and then that's when I met my wife, you know. But in the process of me going through the divorce, my other kids was in California. And I was still dealing with anger. So dealing with anger, you know, no child support was coming out of me, you know. So I didn't pay no child support or nothing like that and stuff for 13 years. "God, I want you to use me." And he just spoke to me, "Get rid of your junk." And I'm like, "I want you to use me." He said, "Get rid of your junk." So I had to start learning to get rid of my junk with the attitude, with the temper and everything, you know. But then I knew there was a child support thing and stuff. And then it was time that I wasn't even filing my taxes or nothing, you know what I mean? You know, and so I had got my wife, you know, and so I told her, "Well, honey, you know, I got to fix some stuff, basically. Nice to, you know, you're going to wait for me, you know." So I kind of figured that was it, you know. And so we end up going there. And then so I end up with finna file my tax, and I'm all nervous and sweaty and things like that, and thought they was going to, you know, get me. And then they said, "Well, I have to go and do it the regular way." And I filed it. And then we sat there. Mind you, I'm 13 years behind, basically, you know what I mean? And I don't know approximately how much. But then after they did it, they said, "Sir, you don't owe us anything." See, God is giving me, getting me ready for something. You know, he said, "You don't owe us anything." He said, "We owe you." And I'm like, "You do?" And I think it was around 13, close to like 13,000. And it was basically almost the amount that I was behind in. Is this on? I said it was almost the amount that I was behind in. So, but then God started fixing things. And then, so that was the setup right there. So God started fixing, you know. But then I said, "God, I want to know my kids again. I want to know my kids." And then I prayed and threw it out there, you know. And, you know, and Bob had prophesied on me years and years ago and said, God spoke to him and said, if I could continue to worship, God would set something up, you know. So, of course, I continue to worship and God set something up. And I said, "God, I don't care. I just want to know my kids." Then I received a call from my ex-stepmom and said, "I need to get in touch with Isaiah, my son." And I'm like, "What's going on?" I said, "You just need to talk to him." So Isaiah called me and said that he ran into a situation walking home that some guys had called him the N-word and stuff. And he turned around and he fought and got beat up and things. And he just thought the N-word was, you know, all black, you know. And so I called him and we started talking and everything. So I had to explain it to him. I said, "Son, do you know who you is?" You know, so I started telling him exactly what was going on. And so he said, "Well, Dad, I just need to see you." So God blessed that he came down and visited me, you know. And then he visited me for a short while. And then he went back. I'm going to speed it up. Then he went back. And then Ashley had came back, I believe, in the next year or something like that to visit me. Okay, now here we go. Now, Tanisha, the oldest one, be all the way back to the house till she saw me destroy it. The oldest one, she, they won't have nothing to do with me. But then my two kids came and visited me, and it was time for them to go back, and I didn't want them to go back. And they didn't want to go back because they was liking their daddy. And then I didn't want them to go, and I said, no, no. But then God spoke to me and said, I need to send them back. I need to let them go back so they can be a witness to what was the change in your life. So they went back, and then Tanisha called me later when they went back and said that I heard that you changed. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, well, I don't believe it. I got to come down there to see for myself. She came down there. Not only she came, all three of them came down. But then to speed it up again, they came down and they loved. But she didn't. When she came in, I wanted to, you know, start over like an infant when she was going to sleep and I was tucking everybody else in and stuff. And I went to her and tried to get a hug and she went, and that hurt. And she said, no, 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 no. And then I was a worship pastor in Mishawaka. And I was playing a piano, and so she decided to go with me to this job that I was doing. And I ended up sitting at the piano, and I played the song when it first came out, Above All, you know, Michael W. Smith. And she sat there on the piano, and all of a sudden I'm hearing, and she was just crying. And she's like, I understand that song. And I started crying. And then that night, when it was time for me to tuck everybody else in, I was tucking everybody else in, but then I didn't tuck in. And she's like, what about me? You know, of course, then I cried. Y'all probably know me. I cried, you know. But then God did all that. Then it was time for them to go back. Then it was time for them to go back. And then me and my wife and everyone, all the six kids, we got in the minivan. You know what I mean? Like the Partridge family. We all crowded in there. You know, so eight of us in this van. And so we had to take them all the way to Chicago, O'Hare, I believe. And then they got the tickets and everything. Then I walked them to get on the plane. And then they were just pacing, pacing, pacing. And then all of a sudden, they said, we ain't going back. And I'm like, oh, no, no. You got to go back because my ex ain't tripping. You know, you got to go back. But then they called her and said, we wanted to give Daddy a chance to get to know us and things. So God set that up. It was kind of wild at first. But then I thank God, like I said, back to this woman. Because she had this crazy man, for number one, you know, and she had three other kids, and you have three other kids that's got this crazy man blood seed in them. You know what I mean? So she, you know, but God anointed her to take on responsibility for that. And, you know, but I'm giving her that praise because I don't know if y'all know them. They know who she is. She's not just, you know, Mike Johnson's wife. You know what I mean? You know how something happens, that's a drummer's wife. You know, she's my love, you know, and she take care of her. She take care of them. And she washed the socks. She washed the underwear, fold them up and hang them up and stuff and all that. And when she go to laundromat, the van be like piled up. Remember those days? Van be piled up and stuff. And my kids got an attitude. Why do I got to go get it? You know what I mean? Then that's when Daddy take care of stuff, you know. But then God blessed all that, you know. But then that's part of it, basically. I didn't know I was going to take all this time, really. But I was just letting you guys know that's part of where I came from, you know. That's just a little bit. But all that have to do with worship, you know what I mean? Everything that I went through, it was worship that brought me out. And everything that I'm in, worship is bringing me out. I'm not saying because I worship, I'm not going through nothing. You know, worship, it changes your atmosphere. Yes, it changes your atmosphere. No matter what you're in, you try worshiping God. You start praising God. Everything starts shift. Your eyes get off what you're in. You follow what I'm saying? You start worshiping. Men, start worshiping. He has shift everything. You know, because right now I'm in a crazy shift that I can't even explain. The only thing I know, I'm 50 years old. And I'm loving God like I just met him. You know, and I repented for everything. And so I got to move on. But I know I don't want God to take every memory out of my mind what I've done with, because I like to look back where he delivered me from. Because if you look back on what he delivered you from, you know, hey, he did it there. He can do it there. You see what I'm saying? But I don't have to dwell on that stuff anymore. You know, but I know when my God, me and my God, and the biggest thing is when we was in our apartment and God told me to go into the closet to worship him. And I'm like, okay, I like that. I started getting my keyboards. Well, not that one, I was too big. But went got a keyboard, getting everything in my speakers. I started taking clothes out the closet and stuff. And he said, no, no, you go in the closet and worship me. So I'm like, oh, so I went in the closet. And I just sat there and I just, you know, got on my knees and I said, God said, tell me what you think about me. And I said, God, I love you. I love you. I worship you. You are holy. You are great. What else can you say? You know, you're magnificent. You're power. You all that, you know. And so that was like 10 minutes. I'm like, man, that was cool. So I stopped walking. He said, no, no, no. Worship me. And so I went back, and I'm like, oh, okay. So I started continuing to say that. Then he started, say, what do you think? Then he started telling me how much he loved me. Then I told him how much I love him. Then he started telling me how much he loved me. And then, you know, sometime in light, like now, like yeah, I can see people walking past. Sometimes you out that you got to just cut lights out so you can't see no kind of thing that's messing with you, you know. And so I did that in the closet. So I sat there, and I'm on my knees, one of the closet with the strings on it. I shut it off, and I'm on my knees, and I'm just crying. One of those cries that you don't care with. Excuse me, snot coming out, everything running out. You like, shmoosh, shmoosh. You just don't care. You don't got time. You're wiping all on, you know what I mean? But you knew that you had to release something out of your soul because God is worthy of my praise and my worship. You understand what I'm saying? And so only thing I know that he told me to worship him. So I went into the closet and worship him without instruments. Without instruments. So I went in there and I worshiped. And then God told me, that's what I'm talking about. Then I went up there and I'm on my knees. I'm on my knees and I'm in the dark and I'm trying to reach the light switch. And I'm doing like this, trying to feel it. He said, that's it. Wave your hand. That's it. Wave your hand. That's Shekinah. That's it. Wave your hand. And I'm like, you know, that wasn't my plan, but he just moving my hand back and forth. And me and him just giving each other a high five, I guess. We were just worshiping and worshiping. And then that's when he said, get up and go spend time with your family. I'm pleased with your worship. And that's the first time God told me he was pleased with my worship. And that was without the instrument. So this is just a tune. But God is teaching me now how I love her, how I love Michael, how I love y'all, how I love whoever I come across. That's number one, worship. Then I can take places. Then that's easy. I can't stand before you if I'm coming, corrupt and not even, because it's my responsibility, not all, is yours too, okay? My responsibility as a worship pastor for atmosphere. You guys is responsible for your atmosphere, so I can't follow you around to clean your atmosphere. So I'm not saying that. Don't call my house. I'm not David. Don't call. Not yet, but I'm working on that. But I'm just saying, so be responsible for the atmosphere. So, or when you see me up here, you know, I'm not perfect, but I just know I love God. I love God. I love God. I love that woman. I can't do anything without God. And it's all because everything that he took me through, he had a plan. His plan ain't easy. He didn't skip to the cross. He didn't say, wow, this is going to be cool. This is going to be nice. He didn't say that. He had a plan. So he had he got a plan for your life. No matter how high, how low, how wide, how deep, or whatever you are, he got a plan. So I'm just challenging you guys, if you ever into something, worship him. Yeah. He don't care if you're off note, because by the time it hit heaven, it's perfect pitch. He don't care. Sing. Sing to him. You know, I know some testimonies that my mama used to share. She worked at a punch press or something, some machine in Chicago at a factory. And a machine had a machine going like,
And then she said she was so much in the spirit, that machine was going, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And she said, what's wrong with this woman? So Jesus used, he could use anything. So I'm just challenging you. Me, we all was born to worship. We all was born. It's not my job to make you worship. Can you picture the time of everyone on their way to church, worshiping God, worshiping God, worshiping God, and when you walked up in here, poof. We all responsible to worship. But I'm just saying, you know, I love worship, and I love that God called me. I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for it. It's not easy. It's a hit out on my life. There's a hit out on my family's life. It's not easy. But I know as I worship, the blood has covered everything. Everything. Satan can't take me because Satan don't have me. He don't have my life. But I'm challenging everyone, worship God. No matter what you in, find time to worship, gentlemen. Find time to worship. God change. He will put relationships back with your parents, relationships back with your husband, your wife, anything, your kids, anything. Try it. I dare you to try it. Worship him. And then after you worship him, start praising him. Say, thank you, Lord. Just say thank you. Start praising him like he already done it. When you give it to God, you put just like, if I don't want this and say, here, I don't want it. God, take it. Take it. I don't want it. Take it. It ain't going to stay, but I'm going to make it stay because I don't want it. You know, I don't want it. Leave it there. Don't go back. I wonder, did he take it away? Don't even look at it. So when you give it to him, you praise it like he already got it. But begin to worship. So no matter what church you at, when you walk in, don't look at the person next to you. Don't worry about if Mike Johnson's singing off key or ain't where the band at. Otis ain't here. I miss him, though. Otis ain't here. You know. You know. Still worship him. Have a song in your heart. Watch. Watch your soul take over. Then when you don't feel like worship him, your soul will tap you. What you doing? Worship. Let your soul worship. Okay, so that's all I have. So I just want you to know that I love you guys, and this is probably 50% of what I've been through. I didn't know I was going to talk this long, but I appreciate you guys having patience, you know. Thank you. God bless you. So, and like I said, that's a challenge to you guys just to worship him. And no matter what you're in, no matter what Satan says, if you keep your mind stayed up on him, he will keep you in perfect peace. Amen. Thank you.
I'm going to close in prayer, but I want to ask you one thing. I asked Michael to sing that song that the Lord gave him when he was walking back from North Carolina. And the theme that kept sticking to me was the fact that God was going to fix things, but when God was going to fix things, he spoke to him very clearly, and he had to either have a choice to obey him in that moment or he didn't. So how many of you need God to fix something tonight? So as Michael worships here, as he leads us in a time of worship, I'm going to pray, and I want you to listen to the Lord, because each time he said, get up and go now, he didn't say, can I wait till the morning, Lord? Can I go after breakfast? He got up and he left in the middle of the night. He got up and he left when God spoke to him. So whatever you need God to fix, give that to him tonight and let him listen to him and let him speak to you. So Lord, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for the way that you spoke to Michael, Lord, each time that he needed you to fix something, even when he didn't even know that he needed you to fix something. But you were about to do something great. So Lord, we just give all these things to you tonight, Lord. The things that we need you to fix in our lives, God. Circumstances out of our control, God. Health issues, money issues, family issues, people we haven't spoken to in years, God. Reconciliation, we need you to fix our families, God. We need you to fix so many things tonight, God. And we give them to you, God. Lord, as we go into this time of worship, this song, as we sing it from our hearts to you, God. Lord, would you speak to us, Lord, of how you're going to fix this and what you want us to do. Speak to us, Lord, for your servants are listening, God. Speak to us, God.
love you, I love you, I love you, Lord, today, because you care for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you, I lift you up, and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Lord, I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord, today, because you care for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you, I lift you up, and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. My heart, my mind, my soul belongs to you. You paid the price for me way back on Calvary. That's why I praise you, I lift you up, and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Come on, sing, I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord, today, because you care for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you, I lift you up, and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. That's why my heart, that's why my heart is filled with praise. Oh, that's why my heart is filled with praise.
We thank you, Lord, for this night. Oh, that's why our heart is filled with praise, Lord. We love you, Lord. So, Lord, as we give these things to you tonight, Lord, to fix, we're not going to pick them back up, Lord. We've given them to you. We thank you, Lord, for the instruction that you've given to us tonight. We want to follow you, God. We want to follow you. We want to listen to your voice, God. We say yes, Lord. We say yes to you tonight, God. We worship you, Lord. We worship you in the beauty of your holiness, God. We worship you. We thank you, Lord, for this night. So, Lord, go with us this night. As we leave this place, keep us safe and our hearts connected with you, God. Keep this song in our heart all the way home, God. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Go in the peace of the Lord.
That's why my heart is filled with praise. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Oh, that's why my heart is filled with praise. Oh, yes, it is. That's why my heart is filled with praise.